we're continuing our series on This Is Us. We've talked through our new mission statement that we will be deciding on as a church, that Boulevardi Baptist Church exists for people to belong in community, grow in a relationship with Jesus, and invest in the lives of others. We talked about how scripture and prayer are the overarching principles of Boulevardi Baptist Church, and those fundamental truths serve as the foundation for who we are in Christ and why we exist. Last week, we talked about intentional relationships. It was awesome because this last week, I was got a couple emails from different people in the church. One in particular was on our decorating team, and she was like, "You couldn't have hit the nail more square on the head." That was exactly what happened. You know, we were there, we're here to decorate, but we wanted to really kind of get to know each other. So we've had lunch, not just lunch, but many times, and shared our past and shared our families with one another and what God's done and what we hope for him to do, and found a true friend in this moment. And so it was really neat to be able to hear that last week, talking about intentional relationships. As a matter of fact, that kind of sets us up going into this week, which we're talking about true authenticity. Now, what is true authenticity? Well, it sounds a little bit redundant, doesn't it? If it isn't authentic, isn't it right? Isn't it true already? So true authenticity doesn't seem kind of like it's not like a double negative, more like a double positive, you know, kind of thing. Well, sure, but however, the intent really is to be more of a reminder for us than to be grammatically correct, to truly be authentic. Because see, we live in a society where we post pictures of date nights, family events, our kids' sporting events, what we ate for lunch yesterday, you know, those kinds of things. But many times we live those lives through filters and hashtags, and there's a lot more to what has happened in that moment than we don't say. The family picture, I think I'm going to botch this, but I read a quote on Facebook one of the other days. It said something like, "Behind every family photo are parents desperately begging and bribing their children to be still and behave." And I looked back through our family photos, and I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's a miracle we're still here. You know, I remember sitting at the picture people with our children and our kids being in tears and my wife in tears and me going, what are we trying to do? Just to have this family photo, and come to find out the pictures that turned out more precious than anything are the ones that, you know, we picked the kid up. We're like, all right, listen, if you stop crying, we'll go get pizza, you know, kind of thing. And then all of a sudden the little kid goes, what? And then they take the picture. I'm like, you know, I could have done that. But there's so many things behind these hashtags, these pictures, these social media posts that we post that we say, hey, this is what's happening in my life. Hey, this is what's happening and this is what's going on. There's really so much more behind that. Now, for some of you, you're like, well, I don't live in the selfie world. You know, I don't get on Facebook. I don't know Instagram and Twitter and all that other stuff. You know, but I think we can also still fall short of true authenticity when we hide behind our busy schedules, our pre-programmed phrases on how the week or the day is going, or maybe how our kids or grandkids are going at the moment. We too can fall short of true authenticity. Now, let me be clear. I'm not advocating that we post or advertise every disagreement we have with our spouse or every disagreement we have with our kids on social media. Nor am I telling you we need to divulge every single conversation we have with our family members or close friends with every stranger we come in contact at HB. When the drive-thru lady at Starbucks says, how's your day going? Like, how much time do you have? You know, I'm not saying we need to do that either, but I think there's a balance in there of saying this is a facade of but I portray people to think who I am and how things are really going. And this is how life really is happening right now. True authenticity. Now, true authenticity is a willingness to be honest regarding who we are and the work the Lord has done, is doing, or needs to do in our life. That's what it means to be truly authentic. I'm gonna say it one more time. True authenticity is a willingness to be honest regarding who we are, the work the Lord has done, is doing, or needs to do in our life. Now, why should we be authentic. Well, let's look at 1 John chapter 7. I mean, sorry, there's no seven chapters in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we live our lives without true authenticity, not only are we deceiving ourselves, but we're deceiving others, we're deceiving ourselves. We claim to be without sin. We claim that there's nothing wrong with me. There's no area of improvement. There's no area of change. We say those things. We're not being authentic. We're not being true. Matter of fact, it says when we say that, we deceive ourselves and we deceive other people in the process. Now, the first part of this passage challenges us to walk in the light. Now, the obvious is true, that in the light, things are not easily hidden. As a matter of fact, when you go to look for something, what's the first thing you do? You flip on the light. If you're in a car, what's the first thing you do? You turn the radio down. I don't know why that happens, or doesn't make sense, but we do. But when you're looking for something, the first thing you do is you flip on the light. Why? Because you can see things more clearly. When we walk in the light, we can see things a little more clearly. We can make those adjustments. We can find the things we're needing to find and walk in the light. Now, when we walk in the light, it is to show how we have true fellowship and true friendship. When we walk in the light, it's walking in true fellowship and walking in true friendship with one another. And when that happens, Jesus purifies us. And this purification process happens in our lives as we tear apart the veil that we wear, as we walk in the light and exposes the areas of our life that God needs to redeem. So the challenge for us in true authenticity is to walk in the light, just as God's in the light. We need to make sure that we're not claiming to be without any change or any need for improvement. That we're not saying that I'm perfect, because we're not. We're fallible. We fall short. And when we do that, we have fellowship with one another. When we admit our failures, we admit our false our failures and things that are not happening correctly, things, areas in our lives that need improvement, our sin that can entangle us, when we find those things and we come to light and we walk with other people in it, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus purifies us in that moment. See, it's kind of like that illustration I shared with you when my good friend Bo Davis was here last week when our kids were much younger and Caleb ran up to me and he wanted my attention. I kind of shooed him off kind of thing. And Bo just looked at me very sternly and said, "Don't do that." Because he was able to see something that was happening in that moment that I didn't quite see or notice, that my child wanted my attention. Not that I was thinking, this is rude, my child is interrupting me. And for him to see something like that and speak that into my life, a point of correction or rebuke, was because the light was on and we had friendship and fellowship with one another. And I became a better father in that moment because of that. Now, Ephesians 4:25 says this. Let me flip over there real quick. Ephesians 4:25. It's on the screen. Speaking about truth, it says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." We need to speak truth to one another. It's not always easy to hear. But to be truly authentic means listening to those things and evaluating those things and deciding, okay, Holy Spirit, what needs to be done? We need to speak truth to our neighbors. We don't need to lie to them and just build them up falsely. We need to speak truth. Sometimes that is encouraging them. I had my brother Bryce today ask me a question. I was like, well, you know, just one foot in the front of the other kind of thing. And he was like, dude, Christ is the center of your life. And he literally attacked me in church just 5 minutes ago. He pounded me in the chest and said, "You got Jesus living in you, the hope of the world. You come on now." And I was like, he's like, "Then if you're not going to believe it, I'm going to make you believe it." And I was like, "Hey, thank you for that encouragement." He's speaking truth to his neighbor, to me. And we need to do that. It's not just about pointing out the things that need to be changed. It's also about pointing out the things in our life that are true that we forget. The time we look at our kids and when they've had a bad day at school, we say, "You know, you are so smart," even though they just may have failed a test. When people are being mean to them, they won't be friends, we say, "You know, you are a friend. You are such a good friend to people, even though it may not feel like it. So therefore, we speak truth into people's lives because we've put off the falsehood and let each one of you speak the truth. Authenticity is also an expectation how we speak to one another. So what good does it do if we're not going to be honest? If we're just going to pretend and say all the right things or the things we want people to hear? We need to speak the truth. Pretending never builds things in the kingdom of God. Colossians 3:9, another reason for true authenticity. Colossians 3:9, Paul writes and says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Do not lie." Why? Because we put off the old self. We put it off. And now the verse 10 says, "And now we put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of our Creator." And we're going to dive into an 8-week study in the book of Colossians. When we finish this, the second week in March, we're going to pick up and walk through the book of Colossians together. So this is going to be a neat time for our church. But we don't lie because we put off that old self and we put on this new self. At Boulevardy Baptist Church, we don't lie to one another. We're honest. We own our mistakes when we make them. Our past has been redeemed by God. Our future is held securely in His hands. And when we know that, then it's a lot easier to be authentic and say, "Hey, here's some of my failures. Here's some things I'm not good at." Why? Because my value is not held in my wife's hands or my kid's hand or my church's hands. It's held securely in the hands of my Creator. He's the one we live for, serve, and sacrifice for. So when we say things like true authenticity, it's not in a moment to worry about what man's ideas are of us or what my friends are going to think of me now. It's what has God said about me? What has God truly done in my life? And what is God doing right now? Now, no one is asking anyone here to be perfect. I'm not asking you to be perfect in your faith and your walk, and you're not asking me to be perfect. But when we find those moments, we look at Psalms, the David, the way he responded to when he was confronted with sin, he said this, "For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, oh God, you will not despise." True authenticity causes us to live rightly when we fall short. That were those times we realize that we have fallen short. The times we realize we haven't done what we've needed to do. The times in our life we've rebelled and walked against God or lived a life that's contrary to the plan that the scripture lays out for us. We go to a point and say, "Okay, God, you're not asking for me just to hit the perfect attendance level at church. You're not asking me to hit some financial number in my giving. What you're wanting is a broken spirit." A point that says, "Okay, God, I get it. I need you and I trust you." Last couple weeks, I've had some conversation with some people in our church. It's been really awesome. And I asked if I could share some of their stories. And they said, "Absolutely." And had a lady come to me not too long ago at the church, someone I've known for a little bit now, and she told me something very powerful. She told me that when she was out of college, right after college she graduated, that she kind of got involved in drugs and was addicted to drugs and just kind of ruined that moment in her life, and later on got clean and got her life squared away with the Lord and moved on. And it always kind of was a forbidden moment in her life. A time we didn't really speak about those 3 to 4 years. We just kind of like pretend, we just kind of skip over those. And I'm not going to say exactly as beautiful as she said it, but God did something in my life even in that dark moment. Why would I deny the opportunity to impact someone else for something I went through? She's like, "I've never really made this known. I've never told a bunch of people, but this is kind of what has happened in my life. And if there's ever a family in this church or ever a teenager that is struggling or doubting or anything like that, I want you to know, send them to me." And I got to thinking, how awesome How awesome is it that we can look at our failures and not look at it as something that was bad, but as something that God has turned beauty out of. Something that is not what we'd wish on anyone, but yet God has redeemed that moment where I can now walk in a way and counsel and love someone more special than anyone else. It's all because we're able to look at that and go, God, you brought me through this, and this is what you taught me, and this is how I want to invest in other people. We got people in our marriage ministry that have been married before or looked at separation. And I'm thinking, what more qualified people to talk to other people when they're walking through a dark time or a difficult time in their marriage than someone who's been there? And yet, somehow in the church, we have this idea that we don't talk about our problems. The week's great, everything's great, there's nothing wrong, and we've got to get past that. Because I don't know if you've noticed, we're all hurting. We're just hurt differently, and we hurt at different times, and we hurt for different reasons. But there's no one here that's not without pain or hurt. For us to pretend that everything's perfect is foolish. Another lady came to me, shared with her women's ministry, and she shared with me the story that she read around Christmas time. And I said, can I have that to read in front of the church when we talk about true authenticity? She said, absolutely. So Sue Pipey and her read this to her women's ministry. And I want to read you what she wrote around Christmas time to encourage our women, even before she knew what true authenticity was, a moment to encourage our ladies to be authentic. She wrote, many of us by now have presents wrapped under the tree in anticipation, beautifully wrapped boxes and shiny paper, big bows and a tag on them that says to and from. We have no idea what's on the inside, but we trust it will be great because we know who the giver is. I believe oftentimes we look at our fellow believers as gift-wrapped people, maybe in a pretty sweater or beautiful shoes, or their hair seems to always be so perfect. Or for the gentleman, maybe they say, he looks like he has a great career. Look at the car he drives. Look at his family. He surely is successful. And we associate each other with handshakes and hugs and well wishes. How often do we allow someone to see beyond the surface to find the gift that lies within us? After all, don't each of us know who the giver is? Each and every one of us here have a testimony. One has probably shared many times about how we come to know Christ and he's changed our life and we accept him as our Savior. How often do we share the testimony of how walking with Christ each and every day changes our life and the challenges that we face? Fear can hold us back from sharing the truth. I can share that I have been married more than once. I've had an abusive husband. I no longer speak to my sister, and I have hurts and bumps and bruises as a result of my journey. My imperfection is made perfect through Christ, just as the gift that is wrapped underneath the tree is we trust the giver who is Christ. We can, through our life, experience and walk side by side with one another in our church family, give real encouragement and hope to those that sit beside us in church because we have been there. Now the question, does true authenticity fit as the core value for Bull Verde Baptist Church? Let me ask these questions. Do we desire for any of our ministries to just go through the motions, just to show up, participate, and leave? No, not at all. Do we want to give only the appearance of unity, or do we really want to work at it? Do we want to live our lives as being perfect or under perfect love and perfect guidance through the Holy Spirit and his word? See, as our men gathered at church yesterday to work and our women gathered for fellowship, we wanted to be intentional in our relationships. But one of the best ways to be intentional is to truly be authentic, to let people know kind of who you are, what makes you tick, why you are the way you are, your history, your failures, your struggles, and your victories. See, biblical preaching and teaching, prayer, evangelism, community, godly families, biblical stewardship, all those things that are currently listed as a core value. Those are wonderful things to accomplish and certain things to strive for, but I really don't believe there are values that shape who and why we do ministry. Let me say it this way. A great way to help people belong in community is for us to truly be authentic for who we are and what Christ has done in our life. A great way for us to help others grow in a relationship with Jesus is to be authentic and to share with what we struggle with and then invest in others and walking through with the same, those who are dealing with the same things, or allow someone else to invest in you. See, so many times we enter a church, we have this idea of what it looks like to belong or grow and invest. But if all we do is operate on the shell, then we're really missing the great things about it. My encouragement for us as a church, for help to help people belong in community, grow in a relationship with Jesus, and invest in the lives of others, we need to be intentional about how we interact with one another. We need to be intentional about how we talk with one another and how we follow up with one another and how we pray for one another and not just kind of see each other on Sunday mornings, smile, shake hands, hug, talk about how busy we are, how life is great, and then move on knowing that we are desperately needing some help. We're desperately needing some guidance. See, the other thing is one of the reasons why we might need to be truly authentic and intentional in relationships is because we can see things in other people's lives that they may not quite see themselves. Yesterday, my son and I were driving around. He turned 16 in a couple weeks, so we decided to put him through the ringer and make him go all the way down I-10 and 1604 and 281 and all that. And if you ever doubt that God still is doing miracles, here I am. The truth is we were driving down La Conterra Parkway, and we were driving, and I told Caleb, I said, hey, we're going to go here because we're going to Dick's Sporting Goods. Just, we're going to turn left at this light. Caleb put his blinker on. He checked his mirror. He waited, and we started to merge. As I look over my side, I see a sweet old lady driving a gray vehicle, and she's like this. So I very calmly just said, Caleb, we need to move over to this lane and grab the steering wheel. No, I was like, car, grab it, yank. It was like, it was scary. He's like, I didn't see it. I said, would you check over your shoulder? He's like, Dad, I looked. I was in a blind spot. I had not been with him in that car to see things that he couldn't see, things he was looking for, things he was checking for. He'd probably hit the car. Can I tell you that we need people to sit in our passenger seats who love us just the way we are, but love us enough that they want to see us become more like Christ? We each need people in our passenger seats and our back seats. And when they say car, we listen. True authenticity is about letting people know. It's a willingness to be honest regarding who we are, the work the Lord has done, the work that the Lord is currently doing, and what the Lord will do in our lives. I pray that we as a church would understand what that looks like, that the things, our mistakes, our past, they make us who we are today. And God can take who we are today and mold us into who he wants us to be tomorrow, and so on and so on. Let's close in a time of prayer and worship. God, I know sometimes it's hard, it's difficult to be honest. And I'm not saying that we need to greet everyone at Starbucks and at HEB with a line and saying, here's all of our insecurities and here are the things we are not good at and great at. But God, that we would surround ourselves with people that will be in our car to help us see the blind spots. People who love us with the same love that you love us, that they want the very best for us, to point us and that we be molded by Jesus. Lord, let you be the very center of our life. The things we say, we do, would line up right in line with Scripture and the heart of who you are, Jesus. So center our life around you. Center our life around your name and what you want for us. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing and worship as we turn our eyes to see Jesus and all of his glory.